100 more than that. Are my is my printout up there?
Okay, that has a scripture.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're 115 now, so we just need to make sure we're where we need to be here. So somebody, excuse me, somebody. Oh, it's my brother tried calling. I'll have to call him after. Oh, so Psalm 115. We left off, we read Psalm 114, and we pick up here. Psalm 115. There's a contrast between the futility of idols and God's trustworthiness. And I like this. There are many things that are said here that bring me great joy and that I am very blessed by in this psalm. So we'll pick up here in verse 1. Father, we ask that you would lead and guide us. Speak to us now by your Holy Spirit. Prepare us to be in your word. You've preserved it and you've given it to us, Lord. Help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only, and that we would be good stewards of your word, that we're sharing it and using it as we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 1, Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. The psalm starts off as the last few that we have, just making sure things are in order, you know, giving God glory and giving glory to the proper name and declaring not unto us. You know, there's no glory due us. You know, glory, the glory of man is fleeting, if you want to call it glory, you know, because the glory of man comes from man. But when we understand you know, who God is and what he does, there is a tremendous blessing knowing that it's not all about us and it is about him, and that he is worthy of the glory and the praise. And it says, because of his mercy, you know, the loving heart of our Father, not to give us what we deserve, that he ministers to us in his mercy, that that we can approach God because of his mercy. And his love that is demonstrated toward us. And then it says, because of his truth. You know, I like this because it says his truth. You know, the truth is not relative. The truth isn't subjective to man's opinion. Truth is truth. When Jesus Christ himself declared to be truth, he said, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. That's an exclusive statement. You know, when Jesus Christ is declaring to be truth, you know, if we're looking for truth, anybody's looking for truth, the best way to explain to them, if you want the truth, go to the Bible. You know, learn who Jesus Christ is. Come into a relationship with him. Then you'll understand that truth is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Praising God for his mercy and praising him because of your truth. We're in Psalm 115, Nick. 115. Yep. We're in 115. Verse 2. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. So, you know, the Gentiles, you know, the non-Jews, or when you look at Gentiles, it would be somebody who is not a believer here. So where is their God? You know, for us in New Testament, we understand we can be Gentiles, non-Jews. But that's the statement is those that are not God's people when this psalm was written. Those who are not God's people will look, they'll mock and say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. So looking for, you know, where is this God that you speak of? How do we you know, look into something and say, oh, there's their God there. How can we visibly see their God? Because the pagan nations around them had some sort of physical representation of their God. So them even saying, where is their God, could be even that, or it could be along the lines of just, okay, so where is their God? You know, they claim that this God is great and powerful in these things, but where is he? The answer is, but our God is in heaven, and he does as he pleases. I love that. The mindset of, you guys know where I'm going to go with this. You know, I'll believe it if I see it. That's not faith. What does Hebrews tell us? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? So in evidence, right? When you see evidence, that's something that points to something or something that had happened. That's evidence. The Bible declares that faith is the evidence of things not seen. You know, the substance of things hoped for. So it's something that you're hoped for, but it's also a substance, right? So that's key. You know, the unbeliever will say, well, if I don't see him, how come I can't see him? How come I can't see? The heavens declare the glory of God. Look at creation all around us. The order that is there. It's just sheer foolishness to deny that God exists, is really what it is. You know, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So consider, how powerful the response is here. Say, you know, so where is their God? Our God is in heaven, and he does as he pleases. He's enthroned in heaven, and he does what he pleases. He's not subject to the will of man. He's not subject to come down here. He's not like chained to us where he's got to come down and keep proving himself. The Lord doesn't have to prove himself. But we can look into the scripture and know the scriptures just declare that God exists. I've said this before, but they don't go to great lengths to prove that God exists. There's just the statement. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It doesn't say, okay, now we got to bring this into perspective and break it all down. No, for the believer, we can just go forward in understanding that, because we understand that the truth of the scriptures point to creation. They point to the God of all creation. So when we can look and understand that the scriptures in their original writings are 100% accurate, and when we can look where the scriptures just declare that God exists, that's a powerful thing for us to be able to stand on. And God isn't subject to the will of man. That might be to the disappointment of many, but he is in heaven, and he does as he pleases. There's no answering to man for who he is and for what he does. Their idols, speaking of the unbelievers here, are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. You know, mockers are trusting in the work of their own hands. As foolish as that is, they're trusting in something that they can physically hold and visually see, that they have this thing in front of them. The problem with that is it was made by somebody. I don't want to worship something I have made or something that's been made. I want to worship the one that created me and created the universe, and that is our God. For the scoffer that's saying, so where is their God, is the one that should be saying that to themselves, because they trust in something that's been formed with man's hands. The scripture even mocks that idea that, hey, you know, somebody can chop down the tree, use the wood for firewood and building things and everything, cook their breakfast with the fire, and then they're going to make this God and bow down to it. As foolishness as that sounds, it is a truth that's contained within the scripture. Isaiah 46 verses 6 and 7 say, they lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith, and he makes it a god. They prostrate themselves. Yes, they worship. They bear it on their shoulder. They carry it and set it in its place, and it stands. From its place, it shall not move. Though one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble.
The faith and trust in something that's been made out of silver or gold, and that they would lay down in front of it and worship it, that they'd bear it on their shoulder and carry it around. It reminds me of the boom boxes back in, you know, the 80s. I remember my brother having one to do it, and I'm like, I got to have one. You know, the 19D batteries that it would take for 15 minutes of music, right? But that's what comes to mind, something that I'm just going to carry around with me that's going to bring fulfillment, right? So they're carrying this thing around because it can't move itself, right? Just as the psalm declares, they have legs, but they don't walk. They are feet, but they don't walk. You know, they set it in its place and it stands, and from its place it shall not move, it says in Isaiah. Though one cries out to it, yet it cannot, and it cannot answer. It's impossible for that thing to answer because it's not alive. It's not a true God. It's a fake thing that was made that somebody would bow down to. May remember 1 Kings chapter 18, the showdown between Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal that Ahab, all around him. And, Ahab had gathered them together, and Elijah calls them out, and he call out to your God, and I'll call out to my God. And the God who answers, he is God. And their response is, it is well spoken. I think they said that, but I think that, they knew they were a sham, and they knew their God was a sham. Hearkening back to, the history of Israel. When you can go back and read how God delivered Israel from Egypt and look at the mighty hand of God. And here are these frauds saying, yeah, it is well. And they're going, oh man, you know, I've even heard of, these prophets of Baal to make it look like they had power. They had a line running under, and they could call fire and they would light it from under the altar. And they had these fake fake fire that would come. But so in this specific sense, they're called to do this standoff with Elijah. They can't back down. There's 450 of them. They can't back down to the one guy, right? So Elijah's, there's the agreement. You kill the bull, and then you call in the name of your God, and then I'm going to call in the name of my God. And so they called on Baal from morning until noon, and nothing was happening. There's no response. Elijah starts mocking him, and he's saying, is your God meditating? Maybe he's just, on a journey. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe you got to wake him up, right? And at this point, they have already started jumping around. So now they begin to cut themselves. And, as they're jumping around, they're cutting themselves, they're shouting, and they're doing all these things. And 1 Kings 18:29 says, and when midday was past. So Elijah let this freak show go on for a little while, seemingly for hours from morning until noon. And then he lets them jump around, cut themselves, shouting, all these things. And still nothing's happening. It says, and when midday was past, so they had their time, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. They weren't serving the true and living God. They were serving a false God. Nothing that they could do would cause the fire to light. And what does Elijah do? Sets up 12 stones, grabs 4 water pots, has them dump them over the bull that he has sacrificed 3 times. 12 stones, 12 tribes, right? 12 pourings, 12 tribes, right? Everything is filled, and it's soaked down. What does he do? Cry out to the Lord, and the Lord, the fire comes down and licks up the water. The water's gone. 450 prophets of Baal end up getting executed. They're serving a false god. Their false gods are void of eyesight. They cannot hear. They can't do anything. Right? That's what's being described here. They've got ears but can't hear. Eyes but can't see. They've got a mouth but they don't have a throat to project anything. They can't say anything. They're useless. They're futile. They have nothing. They have feet, can't move. They can't do anything with their hands. They're completely useless. Look at verse 8. I absolutely love verse 8. We were talking about verse 8 here right after the morning service. Those who make them are like them. Those who make them
are like them. That's a powerful statement. So is everyone who trusts in them. You know, wow, that's a statement. Their voice. So we're gonna read through verses 4 through 7 again. Their idols are silver and gold. They're the works of men's hands. Look at verses 5 through 7 here. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. The power they reflect in their life, which is none, is reflective of the God that they serve, little g, the little g. It's a false God, and there's a false hope that they have in them. It's void of any power, as it's being described there. Yeah, you can draw ears on that thing, doesn't make it hear. Think of, right, we're talking about, or just a few minutes ago, about creation. Think of the miracle of hearing. Nick, you need hearing aids to help you, right? And you can't hear anything if you have those out. Am I right? It's completely silent? Yeah, right. Think of, right, the miracle of hearing. The miracle that what I'm saying is sending sound waves out to you guys. And they're going into your ears. And our minds can take what we're hearing and translate into something that we can think of, and what is said can steer our thoughts and actually even make us, you know, want to do something. Or those, think of how powerful it is just to think of hearing in and of itself. Speaking, I inhale air, and I have lungs to contain that air. And as the air comes out and it's going over my vocal cords, and I'm, you know, making shapes with my lips, my mouth, and moving my tongue, that words are actually coming out. That you can all see me moving, and that what we're seeing goes into our eyes and goes into the back of our brain backwards, and then gets flipped around, and then we can see it, and we can comprehend what's going. Guys, creation itself screams of a creator. To say that all, just those basics, hearing, seeing, and speaking, right? I mean, we don't even need to. I mean, some people are smart enough to. I'm not one of them. To dive into great, debates over atoms and protons and neutrons and all these things, right? They're much smarter than I am. I can just look at the simplicity. I say simplicity, but extremely complex, bodies that we have and what we're able to do. Guys, we serve the God. Those false gods can't do anything. They can't do a thing. That when it says those who make them are like them, so is everyone who trusts in them. Why would we trust in something that has no power? But do we find ourselves doing that in our lives? Hopefully not anymore that we're Christians, right? Should we be placing our trust in things that do not have power? There's nothing. They're powerless. They're lifeless. Until we bow down to it, right? Until we bow down to what that thing has to offer us. Man, we bow down to the work. Men bow down to the work of their hands. You know, those that make them are like them, it says. So is everyone who puts their trust in them. So what does that put everybody who trusts in the false gods? Spiritually blind, spiritually mute, spiritually deaf, unable to hold, unable to walk spiritually, unable to do anything. You think of that. That's a powerful statement that's being said of a false God, those that make them, and those that trust in them. Look at the contrast, verse 9. O Israel, trust in the Lord. Look at these. He is their help statements here after each of these. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, us, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The false God offers no help. It is not a shield. But the living God is our help and he is our shield for those that trust in him. I'll serve that God willingly, happily. Verse 12. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. So if you look back at verses 9, 10, and 11, it says, O Israel, trust in the Lord, O house of Aaron, and you who fear the Lord. And then those same ones are listed here in 12 and 13. Those the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. So unlike the false god with no mind, God is mindful and will bless those who fear him, both small and great. Right? Consider, right? In our society, if you're great, you're going to be surrounded by people. You're small. Nobody wants much to do with anybody who's small, right? As a culture itself. Nobody really wants, there's no notoriety to somebody who's small. It's the only the great ones, right? We're going to look, who is that, right? Can anything good come out of Trenton, Maine? It's Trenton. We're in a warehouse, right? It's been converted to a church. A lot of hard work, Will, and a bunch of the guys shooting in, you know, nails into this wall to put up the wall and, you know, painting these things and everything, you know, and they have, think of what we have here. Can anything good come out of Trenton, Maine? By the Lord? Absolutely. By his power. Does anybody else want to, you know, come to an old warehouse or anything? Probably to the world, this is not impressive, right? But when we understand the God that does the work in the hearts of all of us that are here, that brings us here together. And he does amazing work. He's mindful of us, and he'll bless us as we fear him, both small and great. Verse 14, may the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. You know, that sweet increase from the Lord. It's unlike anything else. The increase of the blessings of the Lord are going to lead us into a deeper relationship with him. It's not the substance of the blessings that we are to put our faith and trust in. It's the one who gives us the blessings. And then when we experience his blessings, we thank him and we draw closer to him, not closer to the blessings that he has given us. We serve him. You know, those blessings for the believer and for the believer's children, that legacy would be carried on because of the Lord's blessing. You know, it's much better than what the world has to offer. You know, I am so blessed, you know, when we see these kids, you know, in this church, and they're upstairs, they're learning, they're down here, they're singing with us here. And then we see them start growing up and they get older and older. Gee, I remember when you came to this church at 2 years old, right? Around two. Yeah. Remember when you first came and you're now 13 years old and growing in the Lord, you know, a daughter of the Lord. I don't mean to call you out and everybody, but I'm just saying, from everybody here, I remember you as a baby, and you're growing in the Lord, and you're a great blessing to this church, right? So we'll not make her any more uncomfortable than we are have already. But I'm just saying, right, the blessings of the Lord, right? There's no regret. There's no shame. There's no pain when we experience God's blessing. It's blessings from God. Man, the greatest blessing we have from God is him himself. You know, he's our exceedingly great reward, right? Genesis 15. He is our exceeding. God himself is our exceedingly great reward. Verse 15. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know, guys, there's nothing that a false god has to offer. No power to bless. A false god only has the ability to take. That's it. That's all a false god can do, is as somebody lays their life down, prostrate in front of them in worship, and are offering, let me give you this of my life, let me give you that of my life, take it, take it, take it. Nothing of substance is coming back, because it's a false god. It has no power. It can't do anything. But the deceitfulness of sin leads us to, well, you're not doing it hard enough. You need to keep going. You need to keep going, right? And what it has to offer is destructive to us. Whatever that is. Whatever it is. Whatever vice is out there. Just the only thing it can do ever is to take. It's the only thing it can do. We serve the creator of heaven and earth. And he wants us to know him and to walk in his blessings. Right? Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That means the desires of our heart are going to be for more of him because we delight in him. We don't delight in what the Lord, what the world has to offer us. There's a big difference. We can delight ourselves in many things, and all they're going to do, as we just talked about, are going to take. But the one that can actually give back anything is the Lord. And if we delight ourselves in him, he will give us the desires of our heart because they're going to be godly desires because we're delighting in him. That's a wonderful, guys, if we want to get caught in a web, get caught in that web, right? That's a blessing, right? Want to be slave to anything? Be a slave to Christ. Verse 16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The heavens are the Lord's. And, you know, God has given the earth to men. Man was given dominion over the earth. Genesis 1:26. Then the Lord said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Psalm 8, verses 3 through 6 say, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with honor and glory. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Right, but even the earth isn't what we should be striving for. It's the creator of the earth, right? Yes, he's given us dominion, and we're responsible for this earth. Okay, yeah, we can look at that in the scriptures, clearly put there, Genesis 1 and Psalm 8. We see it right there. Our focus, what we should be focusing on is the giver of good things, right? All good things come from the Lord, right? James 1, verse 17. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. That's a declaration of faith. The dead might not praise, but we're going to. From now until forever. So the unbeliever that would come to faith by reading Psalm 115, and we're sitting and we're having these discussions, that's when worship can start. From this time forth. I love that. There isn't like, okay, so now you need to grow and you need to go change into something that you're not. And you need to get your life in order and all of those things. No, you can come right to a place of praising God. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Today is a day of salvation. Let's go. You know, you want to come to faith? Cool, let's do it. Right? Even this morning. As we're about to take communion. Hey, if you're a believer, let's do this together. If you're not, just set it aside. And we'll have a discussion. Or you can pray right now. We do this together. Right? Usually, I forgot to this morning. Usually, I say, if you did that and you came to faith today, come up and tell somebody. We want to know. If there's a party in heaven because of something that happened in here, we want to know about it so we can celebrate too. Right? Praise God. From this time forth and forevermore, praise the Lord, the living God, right? The one that's trustworthy and worthy of praise. All glory is due to him. Amen? Amen. Amen. God is good. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that we serve a trustworthy God, one that loves us, that you've revealed yourself to us. Lord, help us to always keep that into perspective. Help us, Lord, to minister to those that may trust in false idols, whatever it might be. Lord, we realize that we live in a pagan nation that has turned from you and worships everything but you. We pray for our nation to repent, starting with the church, that the church would be broken, turn from our idols, and follow after you. We need you, Lord. Idols offer us nothing. They can do nothing but take. Help us to serve the Creator who made the heavens and the earth, and to glorify you as we should, and to trust in you as we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to shut this off, and Corey's going to shut off the recording. Mm-hmm.